So that if we actually then say that is true, then you would anticipate that everybody with Parkinson's disease, if you were able to look in their bowel, would have Lewy body pathology, and you would imagine that it would be ahead of when people develop Parkinson's disease. And there is a paper which is yet to come out which has shown just that. So there's a paper by a chap called Jeff Corder and his group where he has taken patients with Parkinson's disease and he has taken a biopsy of their bowel and he has shown that in the gut there is alpha-synuclein. So everybody with Parkinson's in his little study had alpha-synuclein in the gut, which may explain why people with Parkinson's tend to get constipation. He then very cleverly looked at a group of people with Parkinson's disease who by chance had had a biopsy of their gut years before for other reasons. And when he looked in the gut of those people who had Parkinson's disease years before they actually developed it, from a motor point of view, he found alpha-synuclein pathology in the gut of those patients and not in people who didn't go on to develop Parkinson's disease. So what this means is that we may be looking at a very different idea on what is going wrong in Parkinson's disease. So this new hypothesis is that there is something in the environment, maybe rotenone-like substance, we don't know, which is taken in. And it goes into you through two routes. One is it obviously goes into your gut, and the other is, of course, it can go up your nose. And from Braak's classification, we will say, well, that makes sense, because that's what Braak said. The earliest change in Parkinson's involved the smell system. I've now given you data to suggest that the earliest pathology actually is not in the brain in Parkinson's disease, but is in the gut. Braak didn't say that, because Braak was only looking at brains. He didn't have the gut to look at. But the hypothesis would be that this ingested toxin induces this pathology in the gut. It induces this pathology in the nose. And then that alpha-synuclein, which is abnormal in those two sites, then goes up the nerve, flips out of the nerve into another nerve cell, and seeds pathology in those other nerve cells. Those nerve cells get affected. It passes the alpha-synuclein onto the next nerve cells. It seeds the pathology in there. And so the pathology follows a very clear pathway as the alpha-synuclein spreads up the brain stem and then into other areas of the brain and leads to the loss of cells and the clinical features of Parkinson's disease that we recognise. But prior to this, there is a long period of prodromal PD. So therapeutically, if we really want to stop Parkinson's disease, we need to A, identify what that is, and B, hit patients before they've even got the disease by looking for these prodromal features. And that obviously is a challenge, but some people are doing that. So in the States, they're doing studies where they're going out into the community and trying to find people who they think are at high risk of Parkinson's disease. It's a terrifically laudable thing to do, but if you can't do anything about stopping the disease, to me, it seems not like a great thing to do. But you can start to see where people are thinking about Parkinson's disease in terms of actually when the disease begins and where it begins. So what are those environmental toxins? Well, there are lots of studies where various things have been proposed. I'm not going to talk about them. There are certain things which have stood out the test of time. Pesticides I've mentioned, especially rotenone. And I was in Canada last week, and apparently you can buy rotenone by the bucket in Canada and use it in your garden. So it may well be that there's pesticide exposure, and it might be that the critical pesticide exposure is not within the few years when you present to your doctor, but 25 years ago or 30 years ago. Coffee has been associated with it. So if you drink more than 3 cups of coffee, that's a good thing. That protects you from Parkinson's disease. So if you drink less than 3 cups, that somehow conveys a risk. Head injury is also another risk factor for it. Significant head injury has been associated with it, and not smoking. So if you don't smoke and drink 3 cups of coffee a day, that protects you from Parkinson's disease. But actually, if you do the opposite, then it probably gives you a whole host of other problems. So there are those environmental toxins. The problem is, how do we know what those environmental toxins are? The problem is, we study it by asking people when they come to clinic about environmental risk factors, and we've probably missed the boat by decades. So that is a real challenge, how we can identify those environmental toxins. Of course, the question is, we're all exposed to environmental toxins to some extent, but only some of us get Parkinson's disease. So why is that? Well, the reason for that is unknown, but there is clear evidence that there are genetic risk factors for getting Parkinson's disease. So when I trained 25 years ago, or qualified 25 years ago, the idea that Parkinson's had any genetic basis was laughable. They'd say, nope, it's entirely to do with things in the environment. It's nothing to do with genetic risk factor. There have now been a series of studies, some of which have been funded by the Parkinson's UK, which have clearly shown that this is not the case. And these are so-called genome-wide association studies. So what you do here is you take lots of patients, a couple of thousand patients, you take a couple of thousand controls, you throw 500,000 markers across the genome, so across all of the genes, and you across all the chromosomes, and you say, what is more common in people with Parkinson's disease than people who don't have it? So this has only been possible in the last few years due to the revolution in genetic technology. And in this first study, which was published, there were two proteins that came out. One is something you're starting to get familiar with, alpha-synuclein, and the other was this protein called tau, which I'll come back to a bit later on. So tau is a protein which has traditionally been associated with Alzheimer's disease. So this first genome-wide study said that variations in these genes, tau and synuclein, convey a risk for getting Parkinson's disease. Is it true? Another study came along, 2,000 patients, 18,500 controls. So this is like serious business. What did they find? They found synuclein. They found some other loci, but synuclein again was identified as a risk factor. Another one, 1,700 patients in both groups, tau and synuclein. And so overall, if you look at all of these studies, and the UK has been involved with one, as I say, the Parkinson's UK have helped fund that with the Sanger Centre and the Wellcome Trust, there is no doubt that there are two genes which give you a risk of getting Parkinson's disease. It only increases your risk slightly, but there is no doubt that the genes you inherit for this protein called tau and your synuclein gene convey a risk for Parkinson's disease.